It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Nathan, a.k.a. the Amethyst Dragon. Neverwinter Nights everywhere.
Hey, this is Ben, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of the Neverwinter Nights podcast and the Realms of Trinity.
Hey, this is Lucas, also known as Zert.
Hey, and this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian of Neverwinter Nights podcast and the Realms of Trinity. And you're listening to the 188th episode of Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the MMO from Cryptic, Neverwinter. Tonight we have a great guest, talking to him pretty soon. He's a Neverwinter Foundry offer. He's done a lot of work on his quest series and he's put together here, and we're going to have him on here shortly. But first, we're actually going to do some news. We haven't actually covered news for, I don't know, a couple weeks now. So we want to get into, there's a lot of different stuff going on. The first thing we want to talk about is that we're going to be scheduling very shortly a roundtable series for Neverwinter Foundry authors. Something we haven't done yet, something we've had done in the past with Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 pretty heavily with module developers, persistent world runners. And, you know, we're going to be continuing this, the legacy, so to speak, onto the Neverwinter platform. Stay tuned. We're going to be posting on the Neverwinter forum under the Foundry thread. And if you would like to come on, you're more than welcome to. And we're going to break these up into groups of like maybe 4 to 5 Foundry authors at a time. The format will be slightly different than what we do with the one-on-one interviews, but we will give everybody an opportunity, a short, you know, brief opportunity to, you know, talk a little bit about their, what they've created, you know, maybe like a couple minutes each. And then we're going to get into some group discussions and some stuff that, you know, will lead to conversations and, you know, about some ideas that we've been putting out there and things that you might like to see that from the Foundry community. So we'll be also taking questions. If you're a listener and then you're not a Foundry author, but you'd like to kind of get a hand in on what's going on by the Foundry authors and get your 2 cents in, this is the time to do that. You know, put a post on the Neverwinter forum and or our website, you know, so you can get, or Facebook page, so that you can actually, you know, get some questions in that you might have some desire to know about. Other than that, as far as like actual Neverwinter news, we do have one piece of news that was posted on the Neverwinter site, is that Neverwinter are looking to launch a new version of their website infrastructure before the end of the year. It's called Arc, and it looks really cool, the stuff that they're working on, a lot of integration with character accounts and simplifying the purchases in and all kind of other things like that. It also hits other stuff like the Star Trek Online, so it's definitely check out the thread. We'll have a link in the show notes to the details of that, but they're looking at the launch app by the end of the year. And without further ado, we have the Amethyst Dragon here, and he's got a bunch of great stuff and news for Neverwinter Nights 1. And shoot.
Thanks. It's been a few months since I was on back in July, so I've been kind of busy, and the community's been busy, so I'm going to blab about some of it.
Sweet.
First up, the Custom Content Challenge has still been going on every month. The last time we talked, July's challenge was ongoing. The theme for that month was Lost and Forgotten. It was kind of a slow month. It was kind of lost and forgotten on its own, but we got some really nice ruins, placeables made by a contributor named Vibrant Penumbra. That was the only one that was in that month, but hey, it was still new material to work with. August was a bit more active. the theme for that one was Vikings, Celts, and Norsemen, and we got some very nice new works from multiple content creators for that one. Cestus Day gave us some torques, which are like the thick Celtic necklaces. It's like kind of a semicircle with some knobs on the end. Anyway, he gave us items, he gave us inventory icons to go with it, visual effects, prefabbed items, so there was a bunch of work on that one.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Phoenix Rising gave us a water horse and Kelpie model. It's like a retextured horse, but it's also got like this cool fin going down the back of the neck and some fins on the legs. It's really cool looking. Shemsu Hiru gave us a Carnix, which is like a war horn. I think that was a torch model, or maybe it was a new, I don't know, it might have been a new item. I can't remember. It's been several months. We got new runestone placeables and inventory icons from Tarot Redhand. And I made some simple amulets with like symbols of like Loki and Thor and like a Celtic 3-point knot. September rolled around, and one of the themes that had been in the polling for ages finally came up, and it was arcane space stuff. So basically all Spelljammer things. We had a couple people, Hellfire, RWS, and Roll of Kip. They pulled in content from the old arcane space content that was on the vault and updated a bunch of it, so it all worked now. And I think there's one or two models that had been hidden by the developers and just not released yet when Arcane Space came out years ago. So they added that in.
Nice.
Shemsu Hero made auto gnomes. They're like creature models. They're the size of gnomes, and they're automatons. Automatons, however you pronounce that.
Freaking sweet, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He made like three or four different kinds, and then they're like shiny, and they're really cool looking. Terror Red Hand came up with some Arcane Space load screens to bring in more atmosphere. Vibrant Penumbra made a nice second edition Neogai, which I was waiting for. There had been like a third edition one back when the Community Creature Project released creatures, but I like the second edition versions, which just looked more evil and nasty to me. And then I made a Spelljammer Helm, which is like a throne, an ornate looking throne. And then I threw in scavers, which are like these one-eyed space shark things, just because you can't have Spelljammer without scavers.
That's like a prerequisite. That's like Dragonlance without Race Limajeri.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see. October rolled around. We just finished up with that one, and I actually just posted the content for this one this afternoon. So whenever people listen to this, they can go download it. The theme was Master of the Wild or Let's Make Camp. Basically, the theme geared around barbarians, rangers, and other people that spend time roughing it in the wilderness. That one, Grimlord, made a whole bunch of prefabs of ranger-appropriate equipment, some ranger NPCs, and even I can't remember the name of the dog, but it's like a spiritual dog from like Celtic mythology. It's hard to pronounce. I don't even know how it's spelled. But it's like a white dog with glowing eyes or something like that. Let's see. Okeo. I think that's how you pronounce his username. Made a whole prefab camp area with like tents and campfires and all sorts of stuff. Username Cave Gnome came up with prefab boots of wilderness movement. Basically, you put them on, and while you're in the wilderness, you go faster. So he made that up in the script that went with it. I made some placeable simple traps, like, you know, a loop that might go around your ankle. It doesn't do anything. It just sits there. But it's there for atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Or like a trip line made out of rope or vine. Have you ever seen those pictures of the like logs that are sharpened at both ends and a bundle of them are tied together on a rope and it swings down and smacks people in the face?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I made one of those.
No way.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then I did a visual effect model of like the old ground spikes, like spike traps. Yeah. Well, I made a wooden version.
Okay,
because
very
it's
cool.
Out in the wilderness and you got wood to work with. Shemsu Hero came up with a whole bunch of stuff. He ported over a female barbarian from Diablo 2 or 3. And then, so that's an NPC model. And then he used her head as like a human head model that can be used. He also did several heads based on artwork. So there's like a barbarian head, there's a wild elf head, and like a half-orc shaman. So those are all cool looking. And then Dragoth 28 made two brand new like NPC ranger models. And those look really cool too. November's challenge is ongoing right now. The theme is Doctor Who.
Since
nice.
This month is the 50th doctor. Anniversary, so
yeah. Yes.
It had been in the polls for months, and it finally edged over. Come November 1st, we're like, okay, people are going to make Doctor Who stuff, so they're working on that. So if anybody wants to contribute, join in. We take beginners, we take experienced people. We welcome everybody. Let's see what you can do.
Now, see, this is that one time where, you know,
somebody's got to make a TARDIS.
I was just going to say, there's definitely a placeable TARDIS going to be coming. I mean,
yeah, I believe there's one or two versions of the TARDIS, maybe some Daleks.
Oh, Daleks. God.
Darlik.
Yeah, Darlik.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not really a Doctor Who fan because I don't have time. I know if I started watching it, I'd want to watch all 50 years worth of stuff, and I don't have time for that right now. Maybe when my kids go to college.
I started watching Doctor Who when the new ones, the 2005 series, and up.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of the newer episodes, but I know that I would just love it, and I don't have time to dedicate to it.
Well, see, that's where you almost get lucky, though, because with the way the British television stuff works, excuse me, it's basically the show is on for what feels like 3 weeks out of every year.
Yeah.
Still, it's, you know, 50 years worth of that.
Yeah, yeah, I'll give you. I personally started at the reboot and went from there, but yeah, I know there are some people that have gone all the way back.
Someday.
I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do that.
Someday.
Yeah, someday. It's digital. You know, it'll be around forever.
Yeah, I'll you know, have time once my kids are moved away. I only got 14 and a half years till my youngest ones go to college.
You poor man. You poor...
I got a couple of 3.5-year-olds.
Oh, goodness. Well, hey, that's great. But, yeah, okay. You got 14 and a half years.
Yeah.
Yep.
With all this custom content stuff, you can find links to it on the Neverwinter Nights community site. That's neverwinternights.info. I made a page for custom content makers, and there's a link to the custom content challenge stuff right on that. Really easy to find. And it's got a list of all the themes, links to all the discussion threads on as they were being done, links to download all the stuff. And I actually just recently updated that list with a little drop-down that will tell you what's in each month's theme without even having to download it.
Really cool, man.
Yeah, that was really a suggestion cool. by somebody in the community. I'm like, that's a good idea.
Really good work.
Yeah, I think it was might have been Tarot Redhand. Said, hey, can we get this? And I said, I'd love to, but I don't have time to go through all of them and make a list of everything. And it ended up in my email. So I'm like, it's there. Yeah. On some news that I just got today, the BioWare social network will be phasing out polls and blogs and albums and projects. Well, we use the polls every month to come up with a theme for the custom content challenge. So I'm just going to be running that off the neverwinternights.info site. And people that were formally uploading their stuff as projects to get it to the custom content challenge, they can just email it. The address is put up every month, and more than half of people have been doing that anyway. But it's just something that's going to have to change for a few people, unfortunately.
Yep. Yeah, it's a shame, but yeah, it's something that you kind of see coming regardless, sooner or later.
Evidently, according to the pop-up that came up, there's some improvements and changes that are going to be made, but they're phasing those things out. They're going to read only on the 19th, so 5 days from as of recording, so even less from when this gets posted for everybody to listen to. And then after that, they're going to phase them out. So I'm like, great, okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, well, it's one of the types of
things. I don't really see the BioWare social network as being BioWare anymore. It's more of an EA
thing. Yeah, I agree.
At least it's there for us to still post messages.
Right.
So that's the one I care about, is that there's a centralized forum that we can still go to and we can still post messages.
See, it seems like it, one of the things that you brought that up, and one thing that at least seems like it could pose is that the mechanism would be the Nexus. I know they're using it for Neverwinter Nights too.
Yeah, I've looked at it, but I don't know. It's just not what I'm used to.
Yeah, same here. Same here. I mean, there are some great things the way they set it up. I mean, it's organized very similar to the Vault.
Yeah, and for all the content, it's actually most of the Vault content is backed up now, and will eventually, if the Vault goes down, it'll be backed up on Rollkip's new neverwintervault.org, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Actually where I post the community or the custom content challenge stuff now for like the last 6-8 months, something like that. I just put it on there.
That makes sense.
I don't have to wait for it to get approved.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you're running that, right? I mean, you're at least parts of it.
I'm running the challenge. Yeah. So I kind of run it, and I try to, keep it organized, and then I post stuff whenever I get, almost everything in. And then, yeah, I'm a busy guy.
Yep. Yes. Yes, you are. Well, join the club.
Yep. Yep. Oh, as far as the community site goes, if anybody's interested in contributing, so builders, administrators out there, if you use Neverwinternight or NWNX2 plugins, I could really use some help populating a page with information there. If you want to email in names of plugins you use, links to download them, links to any discussion forums saying how to use them. I'm trying to consolidate all that into one page on the community site so that it's an easy to look up reference. I know I've had a hard time over the years trying to find out what plugins are out there, the most up-to-date versions, how to use them, and I'm just trying to make it a little simpler. So if you developers out there for Neverwinternights 1 want to send me that, I'd appreciate it. I'd say Neverwinternights 2, but it's a site for Neverwinternights 1, and I have no experience with Neverwinternights 2. My computer can't run it, so I haven't bothered to buying it. It's what I get for having an old computer and not being willing to pay for a new one right now.
I hear you, man. I hear you. And yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the same thing too. I mean, you can forward it to us at the Neverwinter Nights podcast for Neverwinter Nights too. And if you want to hand off, like once you do get a list compiled, you want to hand it off to us, we can put it on our page for the showcase.
Sure.
So that, you know, we can put the link there. We already have your site on there, but, you know, even to have something, you know, like a list already right there too. So if people do come in that way, they see both places.
Yeah. It's a community site. So if you want to add tutorials or anything too, I just added a tutorial in the last month or so on how to make inventory icons.
Sweet.
Relatively simple process, but for new people that don't know how to do it, all the information is there.
Yep. You don't know how to do it.
Yep. That's why that site is there. It's for new people and for experienced players and builders and stuff.
Yep.
Speaking of building, a little plug here for my persistent world, the world of Aenea. It's almost 7.5 years now. No. Yeah, getting close to it that it's been online. Still humming along, still adding stuff. We just got done with Halloween, a couple weeks ago. But I like to add a few things for my game for October. I usually put out a jack-o'-lantern that gives out experience points once. After that, it turns you into a chicken for a minute. But I added some spooky autumn night encounter spawns with creatures that you might find, you know, stereotypically for Halloween. So I got werewolves, vampires, scarecrows. I made a green-skinned witch that will cast curse spells on you instead of fireball or whatever. It's just curses. And I added a headless horseman. He's a lot of fun.
Nice.
He's hard to kill. He's not very dangerous, but he's hard to kill because he's got a ton of hit points. But he's just there for fun.
Very nice.
They were spawning every game night during October, but now I've switched to just run on autumn nights in my game world. So that is the appropriate time of year.
Very cool, man. Very cool.
It's my favorite holiday, so I got to do a little bit of something for my players.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Wouldn't expect no less.
And then since I still have access to a computer and I'm still breathing, I've been making stuff for custom content stuff over the last few months. I've added new player trade skills, which are skills that improve through use rather than leveling up. And they're all percentage-based instead of D20-based.
Uh-huh.
But I added alchemy, I added leatherworking, tailoring, so people can make clothes and leather armor and alchemist fire and other weird stuff. I just added armor smithing and weapon smithing and jewelry making so they can make those kinds of items, and metallurgy, which will help with mining eventually, but they can do some smelting, and then it helps with the other metal trade skills a little bit. I revamped appearance crafting for items. I used to have it, you know, here's a reference offline, you know, that you can change your item to through a chat command. Well, now I added some visible examples in game, so you can just select that and enter a real simple chat command and have it done. Did that for cloaks too and shields, because when I added Project Q, it added so many more options for shields. So I'm like, I gotta get this in somehow, and just the straight scripting doesn't actually handle it. So I had to put some examples in there. Model work, I've done some took textures from our last patch 1.69 way back in the day. Finally reskinned my city exterior to make it look more lived in. Added a couple of new earth elemental models so they can take on different appearances when you summon them in different environments, like my water elementals do. So if you're in a volcano, it's made of magma. If you're underwater, it uses the sand and rock texture from I think it's Worms Undersea tile set. So it looks like it came from the sea bottom instead of, you know, out of the dirt. I grabbed the Stone Golem from Project Q, and it was really impressive. So I beat that with a hammer and made it out of iron, and I use that for my iron golems now. Added a bunch of stuff to it. And so it looks like big and bulky and tough instead of a scrawny little, you know, futuristic robot you could cut through with a hand axe.
Cool.
Very cool.
Let's see. Somebody made aqueducts, and I looked at them and I'm like, those are pretty cool. And I'm like, I can do something similar. So I made aqueduct placeables, modeled off of photos from Roman aqueducts. Those were kind of fun.
Cool.
Let's see. I made a brand new Violet Fungus and Shrieker models because they were out there, but I kind of wanted to make something all my own, something classic. And I finally got rid of the Pale Master Pony hand and arm and made new models for that. So they've got fingers now.
Details. Details.
Now yeah. With fingers.
Yes, now with fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And two bones in the forearm that look more like the regular bones are shaped. Because it's cool, you can do a Google image search and, you know, like download a picture of a bone and just kind of like build your model on top of that. Get the general shape. Oh, and we added a great club to my game. Brand new weapon type. I have a half-orc character that's like dumber than a rock. And he just didn't look right as a character swinging around a greatsword, which would, you know, take some training or skill.
Right.
And the regular club just looked dinky in a half-orc's hand. So I'm like, he needs a branch ripped off a tree. So that's what he's got now.
Holy smack, man. I mean, that's, yeah.
And one of the things about Neverwinter Nights 1 is, I don't know how it is with Neverwinter Nights 2, but with Neverwinter Nights 1, it's relatively easy to, you know, download a free program with GMax, and with some fooling around and asking a couple of questions online, you can learn how to make stuff.
Yeah, it's not that simple. You need 3DS Max for Neverwinter Nights 2, and that's a pretty hefty expense.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and there's a lot that, you know, that goes into making the model, I mean, the placeable. So the armor weapons is even worse. So you do the math on that one.
Yeah, I imagine so. But you know what? You can get some really, you can get some nicer looking stuff in Neverwinter Nights 2.
Yeah, you can.
There's some limits to Neverwinter Nights 1 on, you know, how good you can get before the game goes, we're just going to slow things down here. Oh, we added a few feats because barbarians were feeling neglected. So I added
feel neglected.
Yeah, some animal totem feats. It's basically like, here, you activate this one. And it's kind of like a variable on your character that sets an animal totem mode. So when you go into a rage, they get some other little benefit. Like one of them is, you know, go into a rage and regenerate a hit point around. Or go into a rage and you actually become more charismatic because of this certain animal's traits while you're raging. Rage quits, benefit's gone. But yeah, I've been keeping busy. My players seem to like the stuff, so I keep going, ooh, what's on my 5-year-long to-do list that I can add next?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, well, that's what you have to do things. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, you know, it's not about what you just got done. It's about, you know, having a steady stream of stuff planned, and, you know, it's the nature of the beast. You know, people want content. People want things. You know, it's just the way it is. And even in Neverwinter, I mean, look how much, you know, they're continuously adding, and that they're going to have to keep adding. That's just the way the game is.
So that's pretty much the news of what I've been involved in the last 3 months,
which has been pretty hefty. I could say at the very least.
Yeah, there's other people contributing too. Hopefully, you know, someone go, hey, can we be on the podcast?
Yeah,
and I'll say,
hey, anybody wants to get on, that's what we're doing. So
send them a message.
Yep, send us a message and we'll get you on. Well, hey Ben, you got anything else before we get to the interview?
No, I think we're all set and ready for that.
All right, awesome.
I think I've talked enough.
Hey, got a lot to catch up on. It's been a long time, and you know, it's been great to have you back on. And you know, don't be a stranger to show.
Yeah, let's listen to this interview.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Tonight we have a very accomplished Neverwinter Foundry guest. Ex-Hrit is the best I could pronounce it. What would be a better handle for you?
I pronounce it as Zert.
Zert? Okay, perfect. We have Zert on the show, a very accomplished Neverwinter Foundry developer. We're going to be talking about his whole Tears of Saloon's quest series / campaign tonight, plus a whole lot more. So stick around, we got that. Just to get Zert, could you get started, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into Neverwinter Foundry development.
Well, I'm a professional computer programmer and a hobbyist game developer, and I've been in the modding community since Unreal Tournament in 99. So I've made mods for the original Neverwinter Nights PC game and Tiberian Sun and a dozen other games at least.
Wow. Yeah, so you got a good bit of gaming in, no doubt about that. Plus your professional programming career too.
Yeah. Well.
How did you come across Neverwinter? Were you a Neverwinter Nights player at first, or is it just a D&D passion, or?
Well, I'm a PC gamer foremost. And I was a huge fan of the original Neverwinter Nights. So when I heard a new version was coming out, I was super excited. And yeah, I haven't been let down.
Very cool.
So what can you tell the audience about the Tears of Saloon quest series that you've developed?
Well, the first quest I created was really just to see what I could do in the Foundry. I wasn't expecting to do too much, but the more I played with the Foundry, the more involved I became in the process. So pretty much as soon as I finished my first quest, I started a second one instantly. And pretty much each quest in the series, I wanted to do something different with. One of the goals I wanted to accomplish, first and foremost, was to challenge people's expectations. And I think I've done that in a way that most people wouldn't expect, just by trying to approach things in a different way than normal game content, I suppose.
Cool. Yeah, really cool. Can you give us an example of something like that in your quests that really stood out to you as like really doing something different like that?
Well, one of my goals that I had when designing the second part of my quest was to make my girlfriend cry, which is pretty hard to do in a game, especially one that's kind of gets a bad reputation for being a mindless hack and slash game. But
definitely,
I try to put the story first and foremost with as smooth gameplay as I can. And I think it really stands apart from most of the other content in that way, I think.
Really cool. Definitely, taking the time out and actually developing the story, even like you said, to make your girlfriend cry. The idea is, like, you're telling stories, and it's not always about the hack and slash. And sometimes it's not always about the story, but, you know, obviously there needs to be both, and there needs to be a quest that have a more of a actual story drama tell to it than just a straight hack and slash or whatever. I think the fact that you really dedicated the time to develop a quest like that with that kind of background, that kind of an emotional attachment, I think that's great.
Yeah, I think it's definitely necessary to strike a balance between the storytelling and the action segments of the quest, but I think that it's really the story that makes people, you know, it's the story that makes people cry. It's not the action. It really, people get attached to the ideas and the concepts that are presented far more so than the activities that are in the quest.
That's the type of things that people are going to remember.
Definitely.
So what type of feedback do you normally get from players that play the works you've made? Is it what you expected?
Well, I mean, there's all types of feedback, and it's not entirely all what I expected. Some of the things I'm just absolutely shocked how people can even think that, or I probably shouldn't be so surprised that some of the negative comments that I've gotten, because I did intentionally create the quest to upset people. I shouldn't really be surprised when people give me 1 out of 5 stars and say things like, I don't play games to cry, or I can't believe you did that, you evil person.
Well, that should warrant you like a 4 or a 5 star.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I can't believe that you got that kind of feedback. Well, I can believe it, actually. I could believe it. It's just that, yeah, I'm surprised that people are that, I don't know. It just doesn't sound like something that I would expect to see. I guess it is a little bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting as negative reaction as I did from some people. But the positive reactions have been absolutely, like, that's what makes the entire thing worth it. At the end of the day, just reading through my comments makes it all worth it.
It really does.
All of the an effort I've put into it is completely validated.
Yeah, it really does. It really makes a big difference.
Yeah. Online, you're always going to have people that don't really like what you do, but the people that do like it, that makes it worth it.
Yep, 100%. I couldn't agree. We're all three of us are, you know, custom content developers, you know, for Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2, and we definitely, you know, been doing this quite some time, and you know, I could say that I've gotten my fair share of, you know, and I've gotten way many tens and stuff too to balance this out in the end of the day. But it's really you want to build it to your audience, not to everybody. And I think that's a pitfall we run into.
It's not just about the praise. It's about the feedback and the suggestions, things you would have never thought about doing, and different ways of approaching the problems that, you know, just completely surprise you.
Yeah, even the negative stuff can help you improve what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Yep. I couldn't agree more. I think it always comes back down to, too, like, you know, when you read certain feedback, it's just people like saying, okay, crap. Well, you can't really do nothing with crap. You know, if it's a constructive feedback or something like that, you know, you certainly can read it, you know, gain a whole lot out of it. But, you know, that's great that you've, you know, really been able to look through that and, you know, find what makes you happy, that, you know, gives you a sense of satisfaction you deserve for the work that you did. You know, talking about the work you did, what are some of the future plans and projects you have going on right now? We're coming up in the near future.
Well, I have at least 5 parts of the campaign outlined. Some of them are more written than others. However, I kind of want to wait until we get some more monsters to use, because the 5 quests that I've already written have kind of stretched the variety of encounters a bit thin. I'm hoping that in the upcoming modules, we got some nice stuff to play with, because I'd really like to continue the stories and see what new and interesting things I can create.
Always more fun to have more variety to work with.
Definitely. So what are some of your favorite parts and features of Foundry development?
Well, one of the things that stands out to me most is how easy it is to use. Compared to some of the other tools, it's really simple to jot down a few ideas and then jump into game and see how they actually work out. You can iterate over, a few playthroughs. You can, you know, drop in and drop out of the editor and change a few things, see how they look, and see what's, see how they play, more importantly than how they look.
That's definitely been a common thread I think we've heard so far, is the fact that the ease of use of a tool set is definitely a main advantage.
Yeah, it's got a low barrier to entry. You can just pick it up, you know, pop some stuff down real quick just to see what's, you know, test some ideas. Makes it really easy to pick up.
Yeah, definitely a big selling point.
Well, you mentioned waiting for more stuff to work with. What other challenges have you faced using the Foundry?
Well, you know, like any tool, its ease of use comes at the price of power. So while it's easy to make, it's real simple to make simple things, it's really hard or outright impossible to make complex things, which, I mean, the main challenge, I guess, has been finding out what it can do compared to the last versions of Neverwinter, because the Aurora toolkit was really an entirely different beast. You could do a lot more with it, even though it was a lot harder to use and a lot harder to get good results out of. But that's something I hope in the future will change.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I think that, looking at working with Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, I mean, versus working with Neverwinter, I mean, obviously there's differences. And, you know, yeah, you had more power with Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 for certain, but, you know, like you said, it was a lot harder to use for, you know, somebody just coming out, opening up the toolkit, tool set, whatever, and just getting in there, versus the Foundry, which has a lot of stuff right at your fingertips. I think the big thing, the common thread that I see from the Cryptic development team, is it, that they were very adamant of adding features and, you know, abilities to be able to do a lot of extra stuff with the Foundry to be able to do more complicated things and better setups, even documentation and stuff. I've seen a lot of work being done by the Cryptic folks that, you know, even for documentation and wikis and all kind of good stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's definitely a good foundation for, like, it's in a good spot, I think, to build on. Any more features they add are just going to make it so much more powerful.
You know, talking about, you know, having the base and everything, like, what kind of features, like, from, I mean, you've been pumping out a lot of good stuff. I mean, what features would you like to see added moving forward to the Foundry?
Well, as a programmer, I think the best feature that they could add would be some sort of game logic. I mean, even if it's not just outright scripting support, if it's some sort of logic in the quest tree, I think that would be the best thing they could do to improve it. And I think to a lesser extent, a way they could improve it would be via gamification of the Foundry itself, sort of more integrating it into the Neverwinter client. Like, for example, I'd like to use my own characters while I'm creating the stuff so that I don't have to use, you know, a character named Elder or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see how that could be really, really helpful there. No doubt about that.
Well, I mean, it's not so much about helpful, but it's about immersion. One of the things that I thought was odd is they make you wait until you're level 15 to use it, and then once you use it, you can basically just create anything using any, you know, of the endgame monsters that you've never seen before in the actual game. You can just plop down a room full of, you know, whatever monster you want, which I thought was kind of odd. I would like to see some sort of integration where, you know, if you earn the Slayer titles, you could, you know, maybe put different mobs down depending on what you've actually accomplished in game. But I mean, that's just, it adds sort of a playability factor to the Foundry. It doesn't actually improve the stuff that you can build with the Foundry. So I can see why they didn't, but Yeah.
Some people might not have the patience to get through everything to be able to build with it, but it is an interesting idea.
Yeah. Actually, what they were thinking, they wanted to make the barrier to entry as low as possible to get as many people creating as possible. But that doesn't, stuff like that in the future can't happen. I mean, I've heard that there's extra quest slots available, other Foundry-based games like Star Trek Online, where, you know, you buy, spend some AD for extra quest slot unlocks so that you're not limited to just 10.
So right now, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, right now you can only make 10 quests.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. I could definitely see that changing over time. I mean, you know, at some point you're going to have to, because the longer the people are developing, the more content they're going to have. And, you know, yeah. So like, hey, I'm going to delete this because, you know, I want to develop something else. I mean, that's kind of counterproductive.
Yeah, definitely. I've already had to, you know, plan out my quest, 5 quests in advance, just so that I have enough room to put everything that I want to do in, because there's definitely some things that I want to do still with the Foundry. I'm just waiting for the right time.
Yeah, well, I think that's a challenge you run into when you're doing a centralized hub for all the content. I mean, like, with, like, Amethyst Dragon and myself, you know, Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 perspectives, I mean, we host our own servers. We can, if we want to put up 10 gigabyte server, we can, you know, or 1,000 quests, it don't matter. But when you're dealing with a centralized architecture like that, if you can't have, it's going to be hard to scale that up right off the bat because of just the sheer amount of space, size, and everything with everybody banging at it from all over the world.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
That's just extra overhead.
Definitely cool. Do you have any final closing thoughts, points of interest, things you'd like to bring up before we wrap up?
Yeah, it's been fun.
Great to have you too. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. Yep. Well, you don't be a stranger. You know, shoot me a private message or anything anytime you want to come back on the show and talk about stuff, any ideas or future works. We'd be more than happy to have you on the show again. And, yeah, good. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Look, they keep letting me come back.
And we banned you 4 years ago. Well, that and the fact that something else too is to stay tuned for, we're going to be announcing after this episode, we're going to be announcing the roundtable series that we want to do with Foundry developers. We're going to be getting a bunch of them together and have a roundtable. It's going to be slightly different format than the one-on-one interviews like we're doing right now. We have some different types of questions we're going to be topics we're going to be talking about. It's going to be a good time. We're going to be organizing that very shortly here, so stay tuned for more announcements on the Foundry Roundtable discussion series, and we'd love to have you on.
Sounds fun.
All right, awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm going to give you the closing line of the show.
Until next time, get in the game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com. or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.